You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Best bits of the week with Morgan.
It's listener Q&A time,
where Morgan and a show member answer almost all your questions.
Believe in you, not so much me.
I'm going to leave that at the beginning. Good morning, everybody. It's Morgan and Scuba Steve here on Listener Q&A.
Yeah.
Scuba, thank you for that introduction. It was lovely.
Yeah, basically saying I don't think I can get it in 20 minutes, but we'll see.
I believe in us, but that means us starting right away.
Let's go.
And we do have a lot of compliments. Okay. Every time you come on, we get lots of compliments.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, cool. Sweet.
So that's what we're going to start with. Okay, Aaron from Nebraska said, you are just awesome, both of you. Thank you for doing the job you do. Are you going to cry?
What's her name?
Aaron from Nebraska.
Aaron from Nebraska. And she said where she's from. Aaron, I'm going to cry just because you put where you're from. That means the world to me that you listened and you told us where you're listening from.
I told y'all he gets sassy.
I love it though.
Kayla from Virginia said, you're doing a great job on 90s iHeartRadio.
Oh, thank you, Kayla. I appreciate it.
My favorite part of the show is when Scuba is laughing in the background. Kara from Iowa and Alyssa from Louisiana both sent that in.
Double take from two different sides of the country feeling the same thing. Okay.
Right? We love it.
Okay.
Cass in Rhode Island really, really loves the vibe between us on the best bits.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So we appreciate that. And lastly, Haley from Iowa City, you are her favorite guest. You have the most entertaining stories and always bring unique perspective. She appreciates your realness.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for showering me with compliments as we begin.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening too.
Bring the positivity in the world.
Yeah, heck yeah. And then thank you for listening and taking the time to do that and comment. So that's really cool.
Yeah, lots of effort this morning. Yeah. Look at all of you guys. All right, Tyler from Kentucky wants to know when we are getting more Screamo content.
Whenever they want it.
Oh, I think people want it. Tyler from Kentucky is asking.
Yeah, so it sounds like they want it. There's one. I guess you got to be a little more vocal about it and let them know, by them meaning the show, that you want more of it, because I'm down to bring it. Like a Screamo game, like where like we scream lyrics and you have to guess it. Me just doing more Screamo songs, I could do that too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you have any interest in pursuing like a Screamo song? Kind of like we have Abby who just did her original song.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in doing an original Screamo song and putting it out?
It'd be fun. Again, it comes down to, I think this is my overarching theme, is my schedule and time and try to fit everything in. And I would love to do my own original song. At the moment, it's much easier to just take something that already exists
and like
amplify
it.
Exactly. Cover it or amplify what already, like with the Hardy song, for example, like it already had the elements of a harder part at the end right there. And I'm like, oh, just add a little screaming to it to kind of amplify it. That's much easier than having to like start from ground one and write the music and write the lyrics and then go record it. And then I'm a perfectionist, so I'll be in there all day long, all week long, all month long on one damn thing. So it's like, I would love to do it, yes. But this is like, I guess my dipping my toes in the water of starting it by doing this version of it.
That's fair. And it doesn't probably rank very high on your important list at this moment in your life.
No, because it's really fun and I enjoy it, but it's not something, yes, that I need to focus on so much right now. I will probably do another one before the end of the year.
Okay.
I was thinking about doing something with Jelly Roll or like Brantley Gilbert, something of that already, that space.
Ooh, yeah.
Or going really weird and defining something like Lainey Wilson and then screaming with Lainey Wilson.
That could be strange, but I love it.
Yes, yeah. I guess if anyone has any suggestions too, let Morgan know.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah. Hit Scuba up in the DMs. Yo, not yo. That he's probably very great about checking them, but
hit up the DMs. Dang, I got called. Wow, not that he's pretty great at checking him. He basically said he sucks at checking his DMs.
It's more I imagine that you're not because you're a dad.
Yes.
That's where my assumption
is. Well, you're 1,000% correct, but I don't know if like someone had also told you in the question answers, like Steven never responds to his DMs.
That's more of an assumption being someone who utilizes social media. It's my job to understand that.
You know what the demographics are. My demographic doesn't check DMs very often.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry. Yeah, hit either one of them.
Yeah, you did. Hit me with your best shot.
Ashley from Tennessee, do you regret the vasectomy?
I do have some moments when I see larger families and I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to at least have the option to have the fourth child. I guess that's the one thing is you take away an option. It's always the grass is greener type effect, mm-hmm. and it never is greener. So that's how I've coped with it. I'm like, you always think you want more. You think you want something different and everything. But whatever you have right now in front of you is, in that aspect, I guess, is just fine. I don't know.
I think his answer is yes, and he's scared to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess like with any decision you make, there's parts of you that look back on and go, crap. Yeah, I wish what would have been like if I didn't go through it or I went the other route or the other direction. So there's always going to be that looming thing of like, what if I wanted a fourth kid? Or like whenever one of my kids is like, oh, you know, they'll make a comment about another sibling or a brother or something. And I go, oh, that's never going to happen because it just can't happen anymore right now.
The dreaded what ifs. Although technically, can't you reverse a vasectomy?
You can, but it's not successful.
Very often.
Like the percentage of the success rate. And also with how much pain you'll go through reversing it, for me, it's just not worth it.
Got it.
They were telling me that it's, especially the longer you wait, the less likely the factory, as he put it, my doctor, will restart back up. He goes, if you do within the first 6 months or so, there's a pretty good chance the surgery won't hurt as much. You can get it back in gear. He's like, but you hit a year, 2 years, 3 years. He goes, it's almost like you can do it, but it's like 10%, 15% odds.
What about a possibility of adoption? Is there any of that conversation?
There is. Yeah, because I even thought about that a long time ago when we were first getting together of like, hey, there's so many kids here in America that are like just don't have a support. They don't have the family. Something happens. Like with Eddie, for example, you know, he had that. I don't know if that was a friend of his or someone he knew. I forget the connection because I wasn't here during that process. But I know that he had someone that he knew or there was a connection or they got involved in a foster. Well, do you know what it was?
His wife was the one who really wanted them to foster.
God, so wasn't something
sure,
new, right?
No, I'm not sure where that came from for her, but she was the reason that they started fostering.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
and it turned into what they have now where they adopted the kids. But yeah, it was one of those things where the kids had a mother that was hooked on something, and that's a huge problem in America, especially with what's the one that everyone's on now?
Ozempic?
No, not Ozempic. That's where you lose weight. Or you're supposed to.
I heard it's supposed to be diabetes. Right now, so.
I think it's super dangerous. If you're on the Ozempic right now, I'm not judging you, but please consider stopping it because it is a huge effing problem. I'm worried about the long-term effects that we don't know about because it's so short. That's a product that I guarantee you in 3 to 4 years, a lawyer will pop up on your screen and say, did you take Ozempic in 2024? Call now to get your claw. It'll be Morgan & Morgan for the people.
Circle back.
I know. Circle back. So we were talking about... Oh, what's it called? Not propofol. What's something that Mac Miller died from? A lot of Jelly Roll's friends died and Struggle Jennings' friends died from it. Oh my God, are you effing kidding me?
I don't know. I'm not super familiar with drugs.
Fentanyl.
Got it.
Fentanyl. There's a huge fentanyl epidemic. So there's a lot of people that are now being affected by that. There's going to be a ripple effect from it. There are like Jelly Roll and Struggle Jennings, I think alone, have lost 30, 40 people from fentanyl. So think about all those people and if they had kids and if their family's also addicted. So that makes my point is the foster system is probably flooded with kids with this most recent epidemic. And then you had the pandemic, people dying from that or getting sick or can't afford children anymore. So to answer your question in a very long form answer and not keeping us to 20 minutes.
From vasectomy to Ozempic to fentanyl, and I'm not sure what's happening anymore.
I know where I'm at. I'm following the circle. We just came right back around to, I bet the foster system is probably flooded to answer a question about adopting children.
Had to give you a hard time because we went on a rollercoaster slingshot.
We did. But I'm really good at it. I can bring it right. I can bring it around. Okay. Bring it around.
So, yes, to answer your question, Ashley, he does regret the vasectomy.
But yes, I could see myself fostering children, long story short, yes.
Love it. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
All right, Brandy, she did not put where she's from. I'm sorry, but she did put her name.
That's fine, Brandy. At least you put your name.
She did. She wants to know your best parenting advice.
Wow. I think it's what I've learned is, I guess I'll give you two answers. One answer is not to be judgmental against other parents, unless they're doing something that's completely unsafe. Then you're like, oh, then you need to be judgmental and probably step in some way. Okay. But if like, but us parenting styles and the way some things are what they let some kids get away with and some kids and how certain kids act. I've noticed with having kids in three different personalities that having perspective on it, you should never judge another parent where someone's like, oh, I could never do that. Or I would never do that. Or they shouldn't do like the whole thing of judging parents. Like it is what it is. You don't know what they're going through and you don't know how that kid is like, or what their things ticks. You just don't know. So my point is never judge another parent.
Love that. Great advice.
Disclaimer, unless they're being dangerous.
Okay.
Yes.
That was your part one.
What was my part two? Then my part two would be my advice about parenting, like with the kids that side. So one, I want to give advice to parents. Don't judge other parents. It's not cool because we've all been there where we're like, we have the best day and then someone catches you on day 7 and it's the worst day. And they're like, wow, what a terrible parent. They can't get their kids in line, whatever. It's like, no. They were good for 6 days and so were we. You just caught the worst moment. Like either they're hungry or they have to go pee or they're tired or whatever the situation is. Never judge another parent. Super important. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I don't think you should judge other people in general.
In general, but parenting, I've noticed in that space, they are judgmental on another level.
Yeah, I think it's the time we're at in society. We're just pretty judgmental across the board.
Yes, so give people
social
grace.
Media.
Give people grace, you know?
I like it.
Give people grace. You don't know what they're going through. And if anything, help them out. If they look like they need some help, help them versus hurt them.
Love it.
Yes.
Part two.
Yes. And I did that one first to try to stall and give me an idea of part two.
So you didn't have a part two.
I didn't have a part two. I just I put myself up for a part two.
That's okay.
Then well, no, but now I have one now.
Okay.
Because I challenged myself.
I'm trying to help you.
Within a conversation, I then came up with a part two. And actually, to be honest with you, I didn't have a part two. When I said I had a part two, I was lying. I was stalling even more to figure out what my part two was.
You're hurting my brain.
And now I have it.
Are we sure?
No. So what's going to happen is I'm just going to say something and that's going to be my advice.
Why we go longer than the 20 minute threshold.
I know.
So if you don't have something, just say Morgan.
No.
I don't have another thing.
But Morgan, I want to say thank you so much for buying me more time to think of another idea that I still haven't come up with yet.
All right, we're moving on to
so
Emily
what I'm
going to
say is also give your kids grace because leading into like the not knowing what they're doing, I've noticed that my kids are usually one of three things. They have to go pee, they're hungry, or they're tired. And one thing that I've noticed when trying to get their attention, yelling never works. It didn't work for me. It always put a pit in my stomach. Hear my parents yell because they argued a lot. So it was a different kind of yelling. And when they yelled at me, it was like an angry, from the depths of their soul, I hate you kind of yell. And you're like, oh my God. So when you yell, you're not going to get the attention of your kid. Never. It ain't going to happen. So what I have to do is I have to get on my knee and get at their level eye to eye so they're not infuriated of me. Because when you stand there, you're 6 foot tall. They're looking up at you. They're like, you know, 3 feet tall. And they just feel, no matter what, if your voice changes to a stern tone, they're going to be...
You know, that's how I feel all the time, but go on.
Oh, yeah, you're short, yeah. Maybe I should get down on one knee.
I can relate.
I'm not going to propose to you, but I'm just going to be getting eye to eye to you so we can have a conversation. You don't feel inferior.
Yeah, that would feel weird. I feel very weird, but yeah, I can relate to the kiddos.
So I get on a knee or get at their level, like crouch down or whatever, and then I have the eye to eye conversation. And I'm like, yo, look, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? I'm like, do you have to go potty? No. Are you hungry? No. Are you tired? And then I give them a hug and they're like, yeah, I'm tired. And I give them a hug and I'll pick them up and I'll hold them and I'll kind of like just like rock with them a little bit and like try to console them. And just, I've noticed that as much as my parenting and the parenting before that would be like, you're a wuss. But I've noticed that actually works better with humans is the connectivity and the touch and the communication. It's huge. You'll see a difference in your kid's life because then they become more secure in the relationship with you and other relationships because you were more hands-on with them and you broke down the barrier and didn't do what your parents and previous generations did. And you kind of just treated them like another human because you wouldn't want to be screamed and yelled at or talked to or whatever. It's better to just grab that attention that way. So I'll get on the knee, talk to them. And if like, I have to go pee, I'm like, all right, let's go potty right now. Like it's all good. Just next time try to use your words and let me know what's wrong. They're still not going to every time. Mm-hmm. But when you get on that level, then they're more willing to open up and speak to you and give you what you want. And then you do whatever one of those three things is or the wild card four. They're like, well, I want gummy bears. You're like, all right, whatever, gummy bears. Who cares? Like, it doesn't really matter. Give them a pack of gummy bears. So you have that sanity for the next 2 to 3 hours. And once you do whatever one of those three or four things is, then you're completely fine. Then life is easier, and then you go on with the rest of your day, and then you tackle the next problem. So that'd be my advice.
I like it.
So I came up with it. I knew I just had to, like, find something.
Give grace and be on your knees. Got it.
Exactly.
Okay. Emily from California.
Wow, that sounds...
In all fairness, uh-huh. If I summed it up, that would be...
That'd be it. Yeah, totally. Get down on one knee and give grace.
It was not intentional to be taken the other way that you were going.
No, you were going that way. I wasn't.
No.
You laughed.
I
laughed at your laugh.
I giggled because as it came out of my mouth, as I was summarizing,
exactly.
I realized.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, uh-huh. Emily from California would like to know how you propose to your wife.
Emily from California.
Yeah,
did she say where in California? It's a pretty big state.
No, sorry.
Emily, what city, girl? All right, but anyways.
I didn't know they needed to have city now.
Well,
okay?
It'd be nice if they would tell me geographically where they're at. The state's fine, but I want to know where within the state, because then we may have a connection here.
I told you guys he was sassy.
Like, she's like, oh, San Francisco. I'm like, oh my God, I can tell you about this. And you'll know Emily because you live in San Francisco. Or like, oh, I'm in Bakersfield. Oh, the story I'm going to tell you is actually, anyways. So it happened in San Francisco. The first date that my wife and I had was at this place called Tunnel Top Bar. It was like 2 blocks from my apartment. It's on the corner of Stockton, right at the end of the Stockton Tunnel. And I think it's, oh, I forget, Post maybe. Anyways, Tunnel Top Bar. That was where our first date was, where we first met. We had like a 6-hour conversation and like 3 or 4 drinks and just kind of laid our hearts out and explained everything.
And you fell in love.
Fell in love almost immediately. I did at least, but her maybe took a couple dates. But so when I went to propose to her, what I did was, of course, I went to her family. I went to her mom and her sister and her brother. That's like her immediate family. Her father's not here. If you want to know about that, listen to other episodes.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Yeah. So I went to them and I was like, hey, here's my plan. I want to propose to your daughter / sister. And this is my whole thing. And I kind of like I won't give you the whole thing, because we're trying to keep this 20 minutes. But I talked to them and gave my best intentions, my everything, and everything that I wanted to tell them. I gave it to them, and they were so receptive, and they were so happy, and they wanted to do whatever they could to help me out in this process. And I was like, all right, so here's my plan. So I want to do this at the place we met, Tunnel Top Bar, but I want you guys to be there as well, but I don't want you to be there until we do the moment. I want it to be a surprise. So she just thinks we're going to the city and grabbing drinks, and that's it. She has no idea. We're just, because we do that often. We would go to the city and do that. So we're like, we're going to Tunnel Top Bar, and I never asked her if it clued her in because we're going to that spot, because we hadn't been there since our first date. So maybe if she's pretty smart, she probably was like, oh, he's gonna propose to me. It's gonna happen right now. It's totally happening.
Oh yeah. Next best date, I'm gonna need an update. I need to know if she knew.
Yeah. Like in her, because she's super smart and very intuitive. She may have been feeling it. I don't know. I never asked. That's a good question to ask her. I just came up with myself.
Yeah. We need a follow up.
And I will get you follow up. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, yes. So we Tunnel Top Bar, and then we come in, and I emailed the guy in advance, and I was like, hey, I'm coming in. I sent him from my work email, which was, I worked for the JV show at the time, Wild 94.9, like the biggest morning show, the biggest station in the Bay. And so it had a little bit of clout, and I was like, hey man, I met my wife here, you know, one of my wife, I met my girl here like a year ago. I think it was a year and a half, a year, maybe 2 years ago. I was like, hey, I want to propose to her here at the bar. You know, is there a way I can come in there like right before you guys open or something like that? Like before, I don't want it to be crowded. He's like, yeah, man, no problem. Of course. And so we set it up. I call him and I want him to play a song. Hunter Hayes is the song, because that happened to be playing. Yeah, that happened to be playing when we first walked into the bar.
Was it Wanted?
I think it was Wanted. Yeah. Make You Feel Wanted. Yeah. So that song was playing right when we walked into the bar, either when we walked into the bar or when we were leaving. Or there was a moment where it was playing and I was like, I think it was, I was like, oh, I love this girl. And that song was on. We talked about that song a little bit. And then so I was like, okay, I want you to play this song when we walk in. And then we're just going to grab a drink and we're going to go upstairs. He's like, yeah, no problem. So we get there. It's not even, so maybe she knew, because like it was like 12 o'clock. Bar opens at like 4.
She might have gotten the realization as you guys arrived and that was happening.
And I had them get there before us, and they got there and they hid like somewhere like in the back area. So the guy who owns the bar was very instrumental and in a major part in this, and was so helpful. And so we did all that. We get in the bar, song comes on. She's like, what? And I was like, oh, and we grabbed drinks, the similar drinks. I had an old fashioned. She had her vodka one and tonic with lime, Kettle One vodka tonic and lime.
I like the listening details.
Yes.
Great, Scuba Steve.
Yeah. So I had our drinks. We go upstairs, the song's playing, and we're just kind of reminiscing for a moment. And I was just kind of like, get down on one knee, and I just profess my love for her and my intentions. And she's like, and she's just on cloud nine. And right at that moment, her mom comes up, and her brother and her sister. And then she's even more like, oh my God. And they get pictures and stuff. And then we propose, and I propose, and then we're off. We're off to the races.
Oh.
And yeah, you can see that picture that day. It's on my Instagram. You just gotta go down a little bit, Scuba Steve Radio. But
the day is there a picture of you proposing, or is it after the proposal?
I believe a picture of the proposal, but for sure after the proposal, because it's a picture of her like, here's the ring, and a picture in front of Tunnel Top Bar.
Oh.
But yeah, it was a really cool moment. It was really special, and there was nothing that was difficult about it. It was super smooth and easy, and it was the only nervous part was getting the hand in marriage, like asking for a hand in marriage. Like, I know they would say yes, but it's just really nerve-wracking going to someone and saying, hey, I want to marry your daughter, or hey, I want to marry your sister. Mm-hmm. I know she means everything to you, but now I'm taking over kind of. That's just a lot, because I have daughters now and I'd have a really hard time allowing that myself.
Yeah. Well, it's just an emotional like transition of time in somebody's
yeah.
life.
Oh, my
gosh, really
yeah.
where that emotion's coming from.
Like yeah.
letting go and a new beginning.
What yeah.
Okay. So, that yeah. was super sweet.
Thank you, Emily from California. We don't know where in California, but.
You just have to. All right, lunchbox.
I'm just kidding. I'm just
nail
playing.
In the coffin that is like so shoved in, you can't pull it back
you
out.
You can't. No, it's there.
Oh my goodness. Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your story.
No problem.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
All right, we got Lauren from Virginia. Don't yell at her, no city. Wants to know your highlight of your time on the Bobby Bone Show so far.
I was trying to try to do lightning round with these, and
you can still do it. I believe in you.
Okay, my greatest time with the show would definitely have to be when Eddie and I did the walk from West Virginia to Tennessee. That was such a unique experience because I've done a lot of things in the studio with guests and bits in the show with different shows that I've worked for and worked with. But that was so cool because we were out. We were not in the studio. It was an unknown thing. It was planned, but also we're kind of making it up as we go.
Yeah.
Like it was
winging it,
but we did it. We made it happen. There was a good cause behind it. It was a charity element. It was cool to see Eddie pushing himself. No matter, it was pretty difficult, like seeing him walk and then he's bleeding and all kinds of crazy stuff. But then we're running into listeners and program directors, family members were out there and came and visited us. Tommy Chuck's parents from Virginia, they came out. Like, it was just a really cool, neat experience. And then Rod and Gator met up with us, who work here with the company that are higher ups. They met us midway through. And then it was such a cool experience. And there's a million and one stories from it. But just the whole thing was just it was unique. And there's nothing like it. I think nothing will ever top that, at least in my career, as far as doing something with a show. Like, that was so, So cool.
Yeah, and the charity tie-in and the profound impact of that definitely helps the impact I bet it had on you too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then you talked about earlier, the foster kids and all that. It's just like this money's going towards something huge. It's going to help a lot of kids and a lot of families and a lot of kids get into families. And it's like, this is, and we raised close to, I think it was $250,000. It was like 256 or 300,000. I was like, and our goal was, I think, just 10,000. It was unbelievable.
Insane.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. And then also to see America, speaking of Virginia, we saw West Virginia. I mean, we saw places I'd never seen before and driving through roads that I would never, ever touch. And it was really cool.
I love that.
Really cool.
Patty is concerned with you doing the iHeartRadio 90s show. Well, she wants to know, will it make you leave the Bobby Bone show?
Patty is concerned. Well, Patty, you have no concerns because I don't even know. I don't know what I'm saying.
You have no concerns.
How dare you be concerned with my choices?
She's just making sure you're not leaving.
I know. Well, I have no idea what the future holds.
This is true.
All I know is that it's something that I wanted to do and I asked to have my own thing, and then it worked out. I'm not sure what the long-term thing is, at least in the company's eyes, but it's something fun for me to do. I used to do it in Bakersfield when I was doing Ryan Seacrest's show as his executive producer. I'd get there early in the morning and I'd record that midday show for a Bakersfield station, which is funny because I used to go up against, not really go up against, but you know, Brent Michaels from, who's one of our affiliates in Bakersfield.
We love Brent.
I know, I love Brent. It's amazing. So I knew him before even all this because he was in that market and he was a staple. And so I knew who he was because I did my research on it and I went to Bakersfield and was a part of it and immersed myself in it. And I was like, oh, I'm going up against Brent Michaels. And then this whole thing came up and I was like, oh my gosh, Brent Michaels, like our paths kept crossing. So that's a really cool and special relationship. And I'm going off on a tangent and dang it, we're not doing lightning round. But my point was I did middays for about 3 or 4 years and I was really, really, I had a really good time with it and I did really well. The social numbers were the highest they'd ever been. I had increased that engagement on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And then the show, it was just a midday show, but I was doing it kind of like morning show light that it did so well that it created some changes in that station. And I won't get in all the weeds of it, but it was really cool and it was fun. And then when I came here, I couldn't do it anymore because this was a new job. This is ultra full time and I needed to make sure that I was successful at this. And so I don't have any free time for anything. I had to fully, fully dedicate myself to this. And then the COVID pandemic happened, which meant I even had to, you know, spend more. So I just had to walk away from it. But now that it's back, it's great. And I'm enjoying it. That's where it is right now. That's all. I'm not looking for anything at the moment. If she's worried about
that. You're just continuing exploring your different opportunities and thriving because staying stagnant is no fun.
Exactly. And why not? There's an opportunity and why not jump on it?
Exactly.
So LunchBox is like, you're going to get burnt out. Blah, blah, blah. It's not about the money. It's not about anything. It's just about me having my own thing that is for me. Like you have this. This is your thing. It's like your creative outlet. It's your piece of you. And it's nice to have that outside of something else. Like Bobby's even said it himself. He's like, I'd be a hypocrite if I said you shouldn't pursue something like this because he's like, I do 10 million other things.
Yeah, it gives you your individuality.
Exactly. So yes, thank you for being concerned, but don't be.
And lastly, this You Can Do Lightning Round, I Believe in You, your best career advice from Kate in Indiana.
Dang, girl, Kate in Indiana, not a city, but I will say you're from Indianapolis, Indiana. Or Fort Wayne. No, Fort Wayne, because our boy Randy works out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Fort Wayne and Randy, what's up, dude? Anyway, so as if he's even listening.
Hey, scuba, lightning round.
I know, dang it. All right, my best career advice, I would say, is jump. And I learned that from Steve Harvey. I was watching one of these things that were posted on TikTok. Oh, my God.
But you're on TikTok.
I know, but I don't even really do anything with
it. Yeah, that lasted all of one day.
I know.
Go on.
On YouTube, like maybe it was like 15 years ago, and he was doing one of those things. He was hosting a show, and in between takes, a lot of times, sometimes the host will come over and say, hey, studio audience, so thanks for being here. And they may just show appreciation. If they're a comedian, they may tell a joke like Steve Harvey. But he always does motivational things in between takes when he has a moment. And one of the ones was, he's like, you got to jump. He's like, if you don't jump, he goes, you'll never know. He's like, if you jump, it was a little bit longer. I'm trying to paraphrase it. He's like, sure, if you jump, you're going to fall. You're going to get scrapes. You're going to get hit some rocks. So, you know, it's not going to feel good. He's like, but if you don't jump, you'll never know what it feels like to do something that you want to do and be happy because you never took that risk and that chance. And you'll always wonder, it's the what ifs basically.
Mm-hmm.
And basically also letting you know that it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But the things you want in life usually aren't easy. But the payoff is always better because you grinded through it and you took the chance. And because you went through the process and the pain and everything, then it becomes, you are more grateful for it, I guess, because you're like, man, that was so difficult. But now that I'm here and I've accomplished it, this feels so freaking good because I went for something. I wanted it. It was not easy. I learned a lot. And now here I am on the other side. And this is fantastic.
Yeah.
That'd be my biggest thing is, and it's not for everyone though. Not everyone wants to do that. And that's fine. You may not be able to because your situation, you know, some people just like to be worker bees and they like to do just the 9 to 5 and they're fine with that. Or they have a career path they want and they don't want to think about anything. That's fine. Not everyone wants to. But if you're somebody who's even thinking about it, I highly recommend, it sounds like maybe she is, I highly recommend that you take the leap of faith and just jump and just do it.
I agree. And I'll add to that that you should make all the connections. You never know who you're going to run into and who you're going to talk to. It doesn't matter if it's a job that you don't think you want.
Yes.
You should talk to any and everybody and just keep making connections.
The network is huge.
Human connection is how we interact with the world, but it's also how you interact in your professional world too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great, that's another great piece of advice.
Yeah.
Never turn someone down from a conversation. If someone, you see someone, you're at an event or whatever, if anything, it's also just another great person to have on your team.
Yeah.
You know?
You can always have people rooting for you.
Yeah.
That never hurts anything.
Hell no.
All right. Scuba, we did it. Not really. We're like 7.5 minutes over.
Ah, well, that's pretty damn close though.
Okay. Tell the people where they can hear you, find you, all that good stuff.
You can find me at Scuba Steve Radio, S-C-U-B-A-S-T-V-E-R-A-D-O on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Don't check it, but I'll be on there if you want. And then you can listen to me on the iHeart 90s channel on iHeartRadio. It was Monday through Friday, but by popular demand, they've added a Saturday. So now Monday through Saturday, 1 to 6 p. Eastern, 12 to 5 Central, 11 to 4 Mountain, 10 to 3.
My brain hurts.
In the Pacific, and if you're in Hawaii, especially if you're in Kauai, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., I believe, is what it is.
Dude, my brain.
Dude, my brain is sharp as
so many numbers.
But you know, basically 1 to 6 Eastern and where you're at, you can do the math.
Okay.
But I helped you out though.
You did.
Yeah, yeah.
You did. Go listen to Scuba Steve. You can follow me at Webgirl Morgan on everything. And of course, the show at Bobby Bones Show. Thanks for hanging out with us, y'all. Bye.
Yeah.
That's the best bits of the week with Morgan. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check out the other two parts this weekend.
Go follow the show on all social platforms.
At Bobby Bones Show.
And follow at Webgirl Morgan.
To submit your listener questions for next week's episode.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.